Ladies and mud flaps, Andy here, the Inner Winner Show, day 59.
What's a mud flap?
A mud flap is a man.
Okay.
Hi, I'm with my guest Imogen, who likes to interrupt me. Mm-hmm. And I put up with it, I would say probably because I love her. But if I didn't love her, would I put up with it?
I'm not sure. I guess I'm the
You would be but... dead. So we are moving cities because our city sucks big cocks.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with sucking big cocks, but a city shouldn't really be doing that. That's not really what a city should be doing. A city should just be keeping it PG, like not sucking on a dick. And I think our city sucks on way too many dicks, way too hard, and it's all the city really is doing right now, right?
Yeah. Like, there's another episode where we talked about the specifics of...
why our city is sucking on penises.
Yeah.
And probably not just penises. I'd say our city is sucking on assholes right now. It's like licking straight up the government's asshole.
Crass.
I should have turned the notifications off my
PC. How many times do you think you've said that?
Every single fucking episode.
Yeah.
We do it raw, baby. This is raw and unfiltered. So which city are we moving to? A little city called...
Brisbane.
But non-Australians would pronounce it Brisbane, but it's Brisbane. Yeah. I told you all my clients say Brisbane when I told them where we're going.
Mm.
And we have to do a bunch of crazy shit to get there because our city, Melbourne, is still acting fucking insane.
Yeah.
So we have to basically like get behind enemy lines and like
feels that
sneak
way.
Out. We have to like ask for a border pass thing. We have to apply for like literal permission to leave.
Even though it's one country and we've never been
Within the same country, yeah.
States before, like it's never been an issue ever.
All the states in Australia have all just decided that they're all going to go full retard and like... require permission to travel. And then when we get there, we have to go to prison for 14 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to pay for the privilege. We have to pay $3,700 in total to be imprisoned for 14 days just in case we have the COVID. And a negative test doesn't get us out of prison. Mm. You still have to just sit in prison for 14 days, even if you have a negative COVID test. Doesn't matter.
And it's funny because on the government website, it's like, if I test negative, do I still have to stay in quarantine? They're just like, yes.
Yes. And you're like, what is the purpose behind that? Because we're the government and go fuck yourself. And once we're out, what do we get to do once we're out? We don't have to fucking wear a mask. Not that I would wear a mask because I'm not a piece of shit. And we don't have to...
We can walk around.
We can walk around. We can have friends.
We can have hobbies.
We're allowed hobbies. Gyms are open. Mm. Restaurants are open. Mm. Cafes are open. You're allowed to travel more than 5 kilometers from your home.
You're allowed to go outside more than 2 hours a day.
You're allowed to go outside more than 2 hours a day. Yeah, there's no curfew. Wow. Amazing. So, we found an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
We found the apartment in like, because I said to you that day, I was having a moment of frustration. I was like, I'm sick of this shit. Like, this place is shit. Because we'd planned on leaving anyway. We were going to leave in about 2 weeks.
From now.
Later than we, did. And I had a day where I was like, fuck this. I can't be bothered anymore. This is bullshit. I'm depressed. You're depressed. We're just sitting here waiting arbitrarily for no point in time. For no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So I went on the like real estate websites. I was like, I'm going to find a fucking place right now. And then... probably, 6 hours later? No, it was less than that.
Less
it was like
than that.
4 hours later or something?
I was like, you did it the time that I was like during my shift at work.
Yeah, because you were working. You worked from home and I was sitting in the same room as you looking up places and kind of showing the laptop to you while you're like trying to work and shit.
Mm-hmm. And my shift was only 5 hours. So.
Yeah, so within that time. So within 4 or 5 hours, I found us a place, applied for it, like basically got it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know how to do that, guys and or girls, anyone listening, or non-binaries, anyone listening, just do what I always do, I did in this case, is you offer them more money. So we offered $20 extra a week. You don't have to offer that much, just $5 extra a week. But I really wanted this place and I just wanted to get the fuck out because this place is amazing. And pay more rent up front. So we paid 2 months rent up front. You can pay more if you want. My other place I paid 3 months rent up front and I paid an extra $10 a week. Just offer them something and tell them that you're fucking serious. And I literally used the wording in the email to the real estate agent. I said, we want this place and we are going to get this place and whatever it takes, tell us and we'll do it. And then I said, $20 extra a week plus 2 months rent. And then that bitch like fell over herself. She's like calls our previous people, like our references and all that, like immediately.
Yeah, it was like same like, day.
Within like 30 minutes, she's called everyone on my list. Yeah. And then called yours a couple of hours later. And then she sends me through the thing the next morning saying like, yeah, like here you go. Here's like sign this, transfer the money to here. Let's go.
Yeah. Like I didn't even have the chance to text my boss to tell her that I'd made her one of my references. And she like texted me. She's like, oh, I got a reference call from you. I was like,
yeah. So did like
cool
my mate. Which is hilarious because I just don't have references. Mm. Like, I'm sure this is a thing in other countries that you have to have a reference, right? Yeah. For a rental place. Actually, I don't know if that is a thing. Leave a comment below or email me or fucking scream it. Just scream outside and I should be able to hear it. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure I'm listening. Is that a thing in other countries? Do you have to do a reference like you would with a job interview? Anyway, this is boring shit. Let's talk about the cool shit. So let's segue awkwardly to goals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think a big part of why we were so eager to move was because I think we've both become quite depressed.
Oh, depressed as fuck. Like, how much alcohol am I drinking at this point?
Fair bit.
Back on the wagon, boys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my eating hasn't been great because
yeah,
that's kind of my self-medication.
Yeah. And we're both managing it. I don't think we've, like, it's not like I'm sitting around drunk all day not performing and not doing anything. And it's not like you're fucking, like you're still losing weight and shit. But yeah, we are basically spinning our wheels to some extent. We've been productive because you're doing your artwork and working on your business and I'm doing this podcast. But that was probably 90% of the reason that I said we're going to start a 365 was so that we are forced to be productive. Because this is really depressing, sitting around, not having friends, not going outside, no gyms, everything's closed, no hobbies, everyone's wearing a mask.
Yeah, there's a little tangent, but this is kind of a concept that we've spoken about before, but it's like we're putting in 100% effort, but the
yeah
return on that is 50% of what it should be.
Everything's hard, basically. Like, to even get up in the morning and record a podcast is 50 times harder than it should be because you're depressed and because you can't have all those things that give you joy. Yeah, so we got to a point where we were like, let's fucking bail. Let's go to Brisbane. Mm-hmm. It's time. We've waited long enough. Let's go. And I feel like I'm personally really excited because of all the goals that I want to be working on that I feel like I can finally start doing. I can go to the fucking gym.
Yeah.
I can lift some weights for the first time in like 6 months and you can too.
Mm.
And let's segue to my goals. I finally got to a point, you know this, like in the last 2 weeks probably, maybe the last week, probably 2 weeks, where I said like, okay, I'm ready to go all in. I'm finally ready to accept the fact that I want to make money from my website. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to pay my bills. I know to anyone listening, it's like, that's the most low-level goal. Of course, you should want to pay your bills from your website, you dickhead. But for me, that's been something that's taken probably a year to get comfortable with, this idea that like I deserve. It's this weird notion of deserving.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I didn't deserve to pay my bills from my website and my coaching and this podcast, all that stuff combined. Like there was some sense of that's too much of a pipe dream. Yeah. My life would be complete if I could do that. Therefore, I don't know if I really deserve it. Like I knew I'd get there eventually. Mm. It's taken about a year to get to this point where I'm finally ready to accept it.
Yeah, we've kind of spoken about this before and I think we each have our own, I think everyone has their own version of it, but like I think you've talked to me about this before as well, that you've kind of labeled yourself as a person that like can't make money or like,
yeah, because you haven't done it for, I haven't done it for a long time. I've basically always been poor. I've always been shit with money. I just always have. I've always had debts. I've always been shit with money. And you build that up for such a long time that you start thinking like, it's just a habit that is hard to break. I always knew I would break it. I'm in the process of breaking it. But if it's a long established habit, it can take a lot longer. It took me a long time to get to a point where I was comfortable saying, okay, I'm going to actually fix my sex life. I'm going to meet a lot of girls. It took me like probably 2 years of trying before I finally just said like, okay, I deserve this. I'm going to do it now. Mm. Like I was having success before that and I've been making money already, but there's a very big difference between there's that moment where you draw the line in the sand and you say like, okay, from now on, I actually am going to be successful. And that's basically what I've come to in the last 2 weeks. Okay, I am going to pay my fucking bills from this endeavor. So what have I done to actually do that? I'd say the biggest thing I did is I set up that, because people have given me 500 different ways to make money.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 500 different ways to skin a cat, as the idiom goes. There's a million ways to make money with a YouTube channel, a podcast, a blog. I could write ebooks, all that sort of stuff. And I tried a bunch of those ideas and they all felt kind of scammy.
Yeah, I think we've had lots and lots and lots of conversations about, like,
ethics
and the fact that, like, money feels like icky.
Money,
like,
feels gross to me. It absolutely does. Which is a catch 22, because if I had more money, I would be happier, and then I could give more to my podcast, to my website. Mm. I think everyone listening to this is inherently aware of that, like, would agree with that concept. Of course, you fucking idiot. If you could pay your bills, you wouldn't be stressed. You would be able to sit down and record 5 podcasts instead of sitting down and stressing your ass off and procrastinating and, you know, all that kind of stuff because you're fucking terrified that you can't pay the bills.
Yeah, I think there is a big element of, like, since we've both worked in sales and you've also seen a lot of that, like, pickup artist, like, salesy page, like, I think all of that, like, kind of, I guess, the fact that you've witnessed that has given, I think, both of us a very, like, extreme reaction to being
traumatized,
like, to being scammy or salesy or trying to manipulate people. And so I think we've had lots of conversations about how it has been hard to kind of let yourself do those things and not feel like an evil scumbag.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in the realm of dating advice, there are so many fucking scammers. Everyone listening to this would know that. Fitness advice is just as bad. Mm-hmm. Nutrition advice is just as bad.
Yeah, like those awful sales pages that are like super flashy and the text is like 10 different colors and it's like ultra bold and it's like, buy now, you're saving like...
She'll sleep with 90, you
95% immediately on this arbitrarily priced course.
Yeah, yeah. This course is normally $55,000 million, and today it's yours for only $487,000. You're saving a lot of money there, and 5 girls will sleep with you within the next 10 minutes if you buy my course. Go, 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 go. Yeah. So I'm very skeptical of that kind of shit. I don't want to be associated with that kind of shit. I don't even really like marketing to some extent, but I understand that it's necessary. I just want to do it as ethically as possible. And so I eventually came to – I've tossed this idea around before, but like – I set up a support me page and I have set up, or I haven't finished it, but I've started setting up a Patreon. I've also got a PayPal, like, donate for, like, if someone wants to donate like a once off. And I've listed, someone else suggested this to me. I'm so sorry. I forgot who fucking suggested it to me. I feel like a dick saying that. I have it written down somewhere. I should know, but you know who you are. And I'm going to remember in a future episode, and I am going to message, because I do have a note to give you credit. I just can't remember where I put that note, but I will give you credit in the future. So I love you. It's not George. It's some other guy. It's some other guy that starts with J. He's going to be listening to this too, because I know he listens to like a lot of them, and he's probably going to be like, it's me, dude. It's me. Scream louder and I'll be able to hear it. Yell your name and I'll be able to hear it. Anyway, he said you should write a long list of all the stuff you recommend, because like that would make it easier for me, so I can just go through it and go like, yeah, I'll buy that, no, I won't buy that, yeah, maybe I'll try that. And so I was like, that's a fucking genius idea. So I've got that on the support me page as well, like a list of everything that I've recommended, like sex toys, books, all that kind of shit. And I obviously get a small commission if you buy one of those. So that page is theinnerwinnershow.com/support. I've also put a link on my forums, like at the very top, saying like support Andy. And on the Patreon, I'm going to do like exclusive videos. And you gave me that suggestion. You said like, just do like quick, easy, super video. Like maybe you wake up one day and you have a great idea. So you just kind of like vlog it. You're like, you grab your phone. You say like, oh guys, like I just had this like fucking awesome idea. Like do this. Like snippets from your day. I'm also going to have like early access to the podcast and stuff like that. And I feel like this stuff is more ethical. I'm way more comfortable with that. I still don't like asking for money. But this feels more like I've set up a page. If you want to give me money, that would be fucking great. You're literally helping me pay my bills and stopping me stressing, because I'm stressing to shit right now. Mm-hmm. I have an insane amount of debt, but you don't have to feel obliged. All the content is still free, although you won't get like the extra Patreon stuff, but all the main content is still going to be free. Mm-hmm. Everything will still be the same. I also need to, we've talked about this because we've come up with like 50 different ways of like, how do I make money ethically? Mm-hmm. And the other thing we said is each one of these podcasts, we're going to start slotting in an advertisement. And the first goal there has to be, okay, it has to be interesting. Like I can't stand cunts who just go like, today's podcast is brought to you by NordVPN. NordVPN is great if you need a proxy and it's good and yeah, bye. Like, that's fucking trash, dog shit. I'll kill myself before I do one like that. So I'm going to write like poems and do something interesting, tell stories. And we'll probably only at the start mention stuff that we already use. Like, we'll talk about the magic wand, like sex toys, stuff like that. But the goal is that I need to slot at least one of those into every single podcast, because I've been kind of sitting here saying like, oh, I can't pay my bills for the last like year, but then I haven't been doing the things that would actually help me pay my bills. Like saying, hey guys, if you wanted to support me, you can. And how many people have messaged me and said, I want to support you. Can I give you PayPal money? Like, I've had people just randomly say, what's your PayPal? I need to send you money. And so I was being kind of a dickhead by not having that out there on the internet, easily accessible for people who want to help me. Like, I'm making it harder for them.
Absolutely.
It's like I'm running a charity that doesn't have a donate button on the website. So this shit has been terrifying to me, like going all in with money. It really has. I think that's why I procrastinated. And on that note, we've talked about running towards fear. I think that's why I finally accepted, okay, I need to do this because I'm scared of this. Like, I've known this is coming. I've avoided it, but I haven't buried my head in the sand. I knew there was a point I would get to where I'm comfortable asking for money, and I think we're finally getting there now.
Yeah, I think for both of us, it's kind of been this slow, it's probably been over the last year, like this slow progression of, and it has been slow, kind of stepping towards accepting that that's what we want to do. Like, it's always been a goal. I mean, since we started doing the check-ins, maybe it's probably close to a year at this point, the weekly check-ins.
It's been
that we
a
do
slow
on
build-up.
Yeah, we kind of talk about it because the whole point is this is something that we want. But I think the process of, I don't know, it sounds like cheesy, but like within yourself, like really accepting
that
as a truth.
Because we've been working on it.
Yeah.
But there's, like I said, there's a difference between working on it and going 100% all in. And it's not like I've been avoiding my own advice. I'm the first person to say go all in. I think I've said to you, you know, 20 times over the last year, I will go all in when I'm ready. I'm just not ready right now. I can't. I there's too many things I need to work through. First, my own insecurities around money, my own guilt around wanting money from other people. Like, I need to work through all that. And part of that has been having conversations with people on my forums. I really appreciate guys like Crisis Overcomer, David, well, he goes by Gravy Train on the forums. Those two guys, probably above everyone else, have been like pushing me to just, Radical has also been fucking awesome, pushing me and saying, come on, man, like, you need to pay your bills. You want this. Stop being a pussy. Go all in. Like, people want to give you money. Let them give you money.
Yeah. I mean, I guess for anybody that is wanting to go all in on a particular goal, what do you think was the critical point that was like, okay, I'm ready to do this now? Like, what changed?
There was no one moment. That's why I've been working on this for the last year, and I've known what's come. It's like I've needed a year's worth of counseling to wrap my head around, no, dude, you don't deserve to be poor. You do deserve to pay your fucking bills. At the bare minimum, you deserve to pay your bills. I think everyone listening to this would agree. Andy, you put enough fucking good content out there that you should be paying your bills right now. Like, you're an idiot for not paying your bills right now. I don't think I'm an idiot, but I would understand if you said that. There was a lot of shit that I had to work through, a lot of like deep insecurities around money, shit that's been building for, because I'm 33, remember? Like, I've had habits and shit for 33 years that I've had to kind of unlearn and dig through. The same thing happened with girls. I procrastinated that for a long time. I really did. I took my sweet time. I was making progress. So it's not like I was doing nothing. I guess that is something we should point out. It's not like you and I haven't been making progress on our goals. We sure as hell have. It's that going all in moment. That's what we haven't had so far, because that can take some time sometimes. I tell guys, go all in. I understand that sometimes you need some like counseling or something beforehand before you can go all in.
Yeah, I think it would be quite unfair to yourself to say that. Like, oh, that's stupid. Like, I'm sure for any outsider, yeah, looking at somebody else's struggles because it's not your own, it's very easy to hand out advice.
It's very easy to say, Andy, just pay your fucking bills, idiot. Just do some marketing stuff. And I get that that's been the general advice from everyone. And I do appreciate that. My answer has always just been, I want to. I don't know why I can't. And it's taken me a year to work through, why can't I? and asking those questions and meditating and sitting there and saying, like, is it unethical to take money? No, of course it's not. Talking to people. I've done some podcasts with other content creators now who do earn more money than me. And I've also done a podcast with Tristan, the big buff Canadian guy. And yeah, he's in a position, he's probably like a year behind where I am. So he's in a position where he's like, I don't want to take any money from anyone because that feels wrong. Mm. So I've talked to people behind where I am and way ahead of where I am. And yeah, through all of that, I've come to this acceptance of, okay, time to pay your fucking bills. Mm. And I fucking need to hurry up and do it because like, I don't have a lot, like I'm in debt already and I'm running out of like the money that I've borrowed, the loan that I've borrowed basically. So I don't have that much money. I need to hurry the fuck up. Server costs and shit. It's about $100 a month for the podcast and my forums. And because don't forget, I'm running a forum as well. And that shit takes money, time, effort. I set that up myself. I built that myself. So I do need to hurry the fuck up.
Yeah. I mean, it is something that we have spoken about, but I think we've spoken about it. You definitely have a tendency, and this isn't a criticism at all. I think it's just part of who you are. You have a tendency to want to be very all or nothing, all in, sink or swim. And I think that's probably a contributor as well. Like you talked about, like there is a point where like you will like can run out of money. Like it is like,
yeah,
it's becoming more and more urgent.
Yeah. Like I will literally be homeless if I don't hurry up and do this, like quite literally, or I'll have, cause I can't move back in with my parents because the borders are all closed. Like, I literally can't move back with my parents. So I would have to call my parents and say like, I know I owe you like $8,000, but can I please have another, you know? Mm. Yeah.
And I mean, I think in a way that helps. And I mean, it definitely,
yeah, that sink or swim helps, yeah,
adds stress. But I think for certain people, I think for you especially, works. I think we've even talked about this before, maybe not on a podcast, but that you may create those situations. So it is sink or swim.
I do that all the time. Yeah. I throw myself into the deep end so that I have to sink or swim. And then I always swim.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that. If anyone follows esports, if anyone knows what Counter-Strike GO is, CSGO, there's a team called Complexity. You watched the video. There was an interview done with the CEO of Complexity, a guy called Jason Lake, and he basically threw himself into the deep end. He announced on Twitter, like, my team sucks, basically. He phrased it nicer than that, but he said, like, this is not good enough. I'm firing all my players. Any players who want to build a juggernaut, like build the best team, hit me up right now. Like, we're going to build the best team. We're going to build a juggernaut. Mm-hmm. And he said in this interview, the reason that he did that is because, like, holy fucking shit, he's putting everything he has on the line. It's sink or swim. If he makes that tweet and then doesn't build a great team, he looks like a complete and utter fucking failure. He will probably be kicked out of his company. Like, the board of directors told him, you know, he talked about how stressful that was for him. Like, he didn't sleep and shit. He's like, the board of directors will kick me off if I don't make this work. Like, I've built this company, because he built the company himself in his bedroom. So he's like, this is like 25 years of my life that I'm basically gambling with. That is the definition of sink or swim. And yeah, he made it work. Like, he's not, like, he's still in the process of that, but like, he went from a, I think like 35th team in the world or something to like top 10, like within like 3 months from making, sorry, within like 6 months from making that tweet. So I love this concept of sink or swim. It's something I do myself. And yeah, running out of money is definitely sink or swim. That's why I'm going all in now. That's why I'm making this podcast, literally talking about it. I'm also going to send an email out to my newsletter subscribers saying that, hey guys, I set up this support me page. I'm going to edit like my Tinder guide down the end, the bottom of every page. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, if you want to support me, here's how you can. I'm going to make content for the Patreon, so it's worth doing that. I'm going to talk about it more. We're going to put these messages in each podcast. Obviously, we won't talk about it for like fucking 30 minutes like we just have, but it'll be like a 30 second, like, hey, the magic wand is fucking cool. I'll make sure they're relevant to what we're talking about.
Oh,
and shit,
yeah,
but yes. Yeah, it's basically just saying, it's almost like you're saying, hey guys, this is my goal. And you're just kind of putting it out there. And then what you find is a bunch of people here like, oh, Andy wants to pay his bills. That's cool. I want to help him with that. It's not so much like, give me money. It's more like you're announcing to the world, guys, this is what I'm working on. I'm really passionate about this. I want to fucking pay my bills. This is what I'm working on. And then you'll find a bunch of people kind of mirror that back and go like, yeah, I can help you with that. That's cool. Or they might say, I can give you a suggestion on how you can make that even better. Mm. Like, once you start putting the energy out into the world, this is why I talk about concepts of like, you get what you subconsciously desire. Like mm-hmm. you get what you put out there. The universe, I don't mean this in a hippie way, but the universe will literally mirror back whatever you put out there. And that's not in a hippie way. Like it's a quite literal thing. If you go out and tell people, I'm working on this goal, mm-hmm. some people will say, that's cool. I want to help you with that. Mm-hmm. Or that's cool. I'll give you some advice. Or that's cool. I'll tell someone else that you're working on that. And maybe that person can help you.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So what goals are you working on, young lady?
I think the biggest one for me when we move will be the weight loss one.
Yep.
Like there are other things on there, but I think the number one thing in my life at the moment is getting to a point where I feel happier in my body.
Yeah, you want to feel pretty.
Yeah.
You want to feel like a pretty little girl.
Because I think it has been a bit of a struggle over the last 12 months.
Yeah, for sure.
And with everything that's gone on, we mentioned it before, but I have definitely been using food to self-medicate.
The lockdown psychotic government shit hasn't helped, yeah. No. Well, that's been the reason.
It's been the reason. And then the fact that it's a lot harder to exercise and...
Because all the gyms are closed, all of your sports. You used to be very fucking sporty.
Yeah. Basically, everything had to be like self-initiated home workouts, which is a lot harder to make yourself do. Like, obviously, yes, I can, like, do it.
Yeah, when you lost weight, like, before you put on weight, you were super fit. And it was, like, easy mode because you went to cheerleading a couple of times a week. Yeah. You went to volleyball. You rock climbed at least once a week.
And then I was going to
the gym. And then you were going to the gym. And then you and I would walk everywhere because we could. Mm. Like, you were allowed to walk back then. You're not allowed to, like, being serious, you're not allowed to walk right now. Yeah. Can't go outside. And so it really was easy mode for you to lose weight. Like, you got to a point, you're now 12 kilos heavier than you were at your lightest.
Yep. Which was about 12 months ago.
Yeah.
12 to 16 months ago now.
Yeah. And it really was easy mode. And I think that's probably what you're looking, because you told me several times, you've said this like 50 times, you've had these epiphanies where, like, if you don't exercise for a week or two, and then when you go and exercise, you will immediately come to me and say, oh my God, like, can you please remind me that I get so much happiness out of just exercising and I get depressed if I don't exercise? You've said, like, can you please remind me of this? And unfortunately, you've been in a position where it's been fucking hard to exercise for the last, like, 6 months at least. And like you say, you've been doing some home workouts, but they're not quite as easy and they're not quite the same.
And it does become, because, yeah, I think part of having sports and going to the gym is, like, there's a bit of energy. Like, other people are giving you off, like, I'm here to, like, get shit done. And, like, that energy is what I really,
really
like.
It's building something. It's positive.
Whereas I think when I have been a little bit depressed, and I know it is definitely, like, self-harming in a way, I guess, is that, like, you kind of have one day, you're feeling depressed, you're like, I don't feel like working out. And then it turns into this, like, self-perpetuating spiral where you've just gone a week and you're like, I can't be bothered. I feel sad. I don't want to. And so I think having that new energy and being able to move and go outside and have all of these, like this excitement, I think is going to be a really, really big thing. And so,
yeah,
I think making weight loss my priority is going to be one of the biggest things when we move.
Yeah, for sure.
I think another contributor to that is also we will start seeing girls again. And
that's going to be massive motivation. You've also talked about, like, girls in Brisbane where we're moving to, it's a hotter climate, so mm-hmm. they wear, like, skimpier clothing, and that's going to be good motivation because it's, like, all these, like, skinny bitches walking around in tight clothes. I want to be one of them.
Yeah, and it is, like, I fully admit, a huge point of insecurity. Like, I think I'm highly insecure and I get overly focused on that sort of thing, but... If I kind of frame it in a more positive way, I can definitely use that as a motivation to kind of get back on track. And if we are seeing other girls, like, I don't, you know, want to feel chubby and insecure. So that's going to be a big contributor to that as well.
Yeah. And one thing you and I have worked on over the last, like, 6 months in general, but especially the last couple of weeks is, like, excuse me, I'm dying, framing this stuff positively. Like, instead of saying, okay, I'm not at the weight I want to be, this sucks, mm-hmm. I suck, you frame it more positively. You say, like, I'm not at the weight where I want to be, but that's good. this is like a chance for me to be better. This is a chance for me to work on it. Think of all the amazing things I get to have when I get there. You know, I get to have all these things I don't get to have right now. I'm so excited. You can frame it into a more positive thing rather than a negative, yeah?
Yeah.
So what else are you working on? You're working on your art goals.
Yeah, I think that's another one as well.
Building a little business, little
yeah,
artist.
I think, like, it has definitely, I will say that the lockdown has kind of helped with the whole art thing because I've just had a lot more time to kind of focus in on doing art. But I think with being able to move as well, like, there's all, it opens up more opportunities. It's, I don't like calling it that, but, like, being able to network and meet with other artists, go to, like, even little things, just, like, improving my actual, like, technical ability, like, going to live drawing classes, maybe, like, selling work at markets and things like that. Like, I've looked into that as an option when we move, like, all sorts of things. And I think the biggest thing will really just be the excitement and the energy that we get from moving. It's hard to do art.
It's hard to do podcasts. It's hard to lose weight. It's hard to do all of this shit when you are literally depressed. Mm. Yeah. Like, very depressed. And we both have been very depressed. And we have all the tools to deal with that. We've both been doing an amazing, like I've said to you a million times, we're doing a fucking good job of this shit. Like, because we have all the tools, we have the books like You Can't Afford the Luxury of a Negative Thought. We've been meditating. We know what we need to do, but there is still a cloud of depression when, like I say, you can't go outside, you know, your government is acting psychotic.
Yeah, there's been like...
It's illegal to go outside, like that kind of shit.
Maybe 3-4 nights just this week, we've been like, I feel restless. Like, I want to go do something.
Yeah, outside. I want to go outside. Well, can we? No. Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very much, it feels very much like being in a prison. And it's a prison that's been going on for 6 months at this point for no good reason. I think that makes it worse. If this was like actually a virus that actually killed anyone. Mm. And I'm quite happy saying that hyperbolic statement. I don't think COVID fucking kills anyone. I think it's a fucking scam. Call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't give a shit at this point. Every other conspiracy theory that I've said up until this point has been proven true. So why not this one as well? Sure, COVID's probably just pretend and fucking China made it up. Let's go full fucking tinfoil hat, retard, whatever. I don't care. It's hard not to be depressed. And like I said, we've done a really good job of it. I think we're now at a stage where it's like, okay, cool. Like, we're moving. And there's that hope again. I feel hope now for the first time in 6 months because there was no hope. There was like, when does this end? We can't leave. The restrictions are getting worse. The government is acting more totalitarian. People seem to be embracing this more like some Nazi Germany shit. Like, everything was getting darker and darker and it was like closing in. And it's only now that we're leaving that it's like, okay, we have some fucking hope again. And yeah, I'm super excited for you to do your artwork and stuff because... There is less inspiration as well if you're just stuck in a fucking room because you do all your paintings in the same chair, in the same room. Like, and I do all my podcasts in the same fucking house. No offense to your mom's house. It's a lovely house, but it's not inspiring. It feels like shit. I fucking hate it. I fucking hate that you have to sit there and do the art and we can't go sit in a park or something and you can paint while I do a podcast or we can't walk around like shit like that.
Yeah.
It's a fucking nightmare. So I feel like going somewhere else is going to be a massive boost of inspiration. It'll be a new city as well. I'm super excited about that. Like, I've already bookmarked on Google Maps. I've starred like 500 different places, like 50 art museums next to where we live. Because the street we're living on, we're living in a fucking trendy area. There's a reason that I said to the real estate agent, I'll pay you $20 extra a week and pay two. Because I looked at this place and I was like, God damn it. I had a short list of 3 main places. And if we got any of them, I would have been pretty happy. Especially the top 2. And then this one was definitely like at the top of the list. And the area is amazing. There's like cafes everywhere. It's like super trendy and like very like fancy. And if you want to know how fucking trendy and like wanky it is, like how hipster and like trendy and shit, the gym that I'm going to go to, it's only like $15 a week. So it's like super cheap. It's like fucking good gym. Like most gyms in Australia, like $30 a week. It looks amazing inside. It's like barbells, proper like lifting equipment. But to tell you how trendy this fucking place is, dogs are allowed to go to the gym. And they have a special like dog play area where you stick your dogs and you can go in there and play with the dogs and like you can sip your little macchiato while playing with your fucking canines while lifting weights and shit. The dogs can't run in where the barbells are, but they can sit. Like, there's like an area next to that where you can like look at the dogs while you like squat and shit. And it's like, this is like the most wanky concept ever. I love that shit. It's how you know that you're in a really trendy, fancy fucking area, because apparently this is like one of the most expensive areas in the city, but the rent wasn't that expensive. We're paying less than we were paying in Melbourne, like quite a lot less.
Expensive though.
Melbourne's a fucking ripoff for money, yeah, for rent. But now I'm super excited. I'm like crazy excited.
Yeah. It reminds me, so there was probably an equivalent city in Melbourne called South Yarra. Mm-hmm. And you always make jokes about it, but like women walking around in like activewear, like walking around.
Every woman wears Lululemon shit, drinking a fucking macchiato with her little cocker spaniel, chihuahua, handbag. She has fucking dogs in the handbag. And she's like got her fucking nails done and she's sipping cocktails while she walks and she's a trophy wife. Yeah, they all look like that. And she's like mud face. She's covered in so much makeup that I call her a mud face. Yeah, we're going to one of those suburbs. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'll be that over the top.
Like that.
I don't think it'll be that expensive. It looks a little more down to earth, but yeah, it is like quite fancy. There's like 15 gyms within 5 minutes walk where we are. It tells you like how into health and fitness they are. It's like 5 million cafes. There's a beautiful walk along the river that'll look really good. No one will be wearing a mask. There'll be no freaks.
That'll be weird. I think we've talked about this before, but I think when we first get there, it's going to be a bit dystopian. Like in
I'm
going to
be confused,
way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there will be an element of like being able to adjust and being like, okay, everything's okay. Like,
yeah, we'll be on high alert for a little while, like paranoid, like walking on eggshells, because we're basically coming out of a cult and you're going back into the real world and you're like, wait, you guys aren't wearing masks? You guys are allowed outside for more than 1 hour a day? Like, what's going on? How come you guys are like holding hands in public? Why is that a thing? It is going to be like weird. Yeah, I just say it's going to be weird for a bit. We can hang out with our fucking friends.
That'd be nice.
I think going to the gym is the thing. I know you're looking forward to that the most. I am
like
too,
sport,
to some extent. Yeah,
sport and activities.
I just want to fucking lift something heavy because I haven't been able to for like 6 months. I've definitely lost muscle. I feel like a weak piece of shit. Yeah. And for like you doing volleyball, rock climbing. I already looked up for you. There's like four rock climbing gyms within like 10 minutes walk of our place. Yeah. It's like bouldering gyms and proper rock climbing gyms. And there's outdoor gyms for rock climbing. Yeah, it's cool as fuck. With your art, I wrote down some notes, stuff to talk about. You've been slowly putting your prices up. I do the same thing with my coaching, obviously. And the way that we've done it, as in price increases, is we both started off super cheap, and this is definitely what I'd recommend to anyone who starts their own business, depending on what type of business it is. But if it's like a content creation business, you know, like art or like my website, my podcast, that kind of shit, you start super cheap. And you can even do some jobs for free for clients if you want to. But you start like crazy cheap. It's not worth it. I even said to you at the start, because you were only getting like $15 per job or something, right? And it would take you like 10 hours worth of work, right? And I said to you, you have to accept that you're basically making a loss for a while. Like your art supplies will cost more than you make. Like you will literally lose money doing these artworks because you have to buy the canvas. You have to buy the paints and all that kind of shit. And fuck this fly. Go away, Mr. Fly. There's a goddamn fucking fly here. Piss off, you little cheeky cunt. You little cheeky cunt. Fuck off. He fucked off. So you start off making not much money. And what I said to you was the same thing that I did with my coaching business. I didn't intend to do it. It just kind of happened this way. I figured it out as I went along. You start at a low price, and then when you get to a point where you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, like maybe you have like three coaching clients a week, or you have like three artworks you need to do per week, and you're feeling like, I don't have the time for this, especially you, because you also have a job. As soon as you start feeling overwhelmed, put your prices up. And you put it up to a level that you're not quite comfortable with. So I had to kind of force you and encourage you. And I said, like, look, put it up to this price. And you were like, but I don't know if I'll get any clients at that price.
Really not comfortable.
You were not
comfortable
with that.
About it at all. Right now it feels too high and it feels gross.
Yeah. I feel a little bit like that with my coaching, the prices as well. But you put the price up to a point that you're not quite comfortable with. And your concern was, but if we put it up to this price, I won't get any clients. I won't get any jobs. Good. And I set the metric of, if you don't get a single new artwork, like a single new client for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. then you can drop your price down a tiny bit, or you can work harder to get a new client. So you can do some marketing. You can message all of your friends and family and say, hey, like, by the way, I'm doing this. Or you can offer a slight discount, like a 10% discount. Mm-hmm. You do whatever it takes to get a client, and you start getting clients at that new price. And then you stay at that price until you get to another point where you're uncomfortable, like you feel overwhelmed with how much work you have to do. Like, mm-hmm. oh, shit, I have 3 artworks to complete this week. I don't have the time. Cool. Put your prices up. I did the same with my coaching. When I would get to a point where I was like, fuck, this is like too much work this week. Okay, prices need to go up now. Mm. And I would suggest, depending on what type of business you have, I grandfather in all my prices. So any of my old clients, whatever rate they started paying me at, I just let them keep paying that price indefinitely. Some of them have been fucking good dudes. Like, shout out to one guy in particular. I won't say his name, but like, he wanted to pay me more. And he was like, no, dude, I'm going to pay you a new price. And we kind of had an argument. I was like, nah, man, like, I feel more comfortable if you just do the old price. And he was like, no, I'll do new price. Mm-hmm. Top dude. Love that dude. But you'll find a lot of clients are like, I really appreciate that you give me the old price. That's fucking cool. And they'll stick around. They'll be loyal. Keep doing this process of every time I feel overwhelmed by the number of clients that I have, I put my price up a little bit and I'll be uncomfortable for a little bit. But you will find every time you put your prices up, you still get new clients. That certainly happened with you. And if you get to a point where you haven't had a couple of clients for a couple of weeks, okay, now you work harder. You market, you post on Instagram, you send out a newsletter saying like, hey, discount, or hey, don't forget that I offer this like paid service. You message all your friends and family. Maybe you pay for some Facebook ads or something, which isn't something I've experimented with myself, but a lot of my friends have. And keep doing this process. It should always be an iterative process of my prices need to keep going up over time. I've always been confused by why people stop at a certain price. I've always found that confusing. Like, and okay, there is probably some end point. I probably can't charge $5,000 an hour. But then having said that, why not? Can't I just give $5,000 worth of content? Like, you can, I really do think you can keep putting your prices up, like, almost indefinitely. And at some point, at each new price point, you have to offer more. I will make that clear. You have to make sure that you're giving the person, but it's a supply and demand business. So if you say my prices are $500 and someone's like, yeah, I'm happy to pay that. Cool. That means you're worth that. But just for your own peace of mind, I would definitely recommend as you put your prices up, give more and more. I definitely give a hell of a lot more with my coaching now than I did when I was charging like $10 an hour, and you put more time and effort into your artwork now.
Of course. And we've talked about this before, but when you are getting more money for the service you're providing, you're far more willing to put in more effort. I think when you're charging a lower price, because you know you're undercutting yourself, which is silly because you kind of take it out on them, but you start resenting the client, which isn't fair because you've done it to yourself. Yeah. And you're like, Jesus, like I definitely had that at the start when I was like, it was like $15 for an artwork. And I was like, Jesus Christ, I've just spent 5 hours on this.
Yeah.
I'm wasting my time. Like, and it's not. I know I had to kind of convince myself, and you did too, logically convince myself that, no, I'm not wasting my time. I'm building something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm building a portfolio. I'm building experience.
I'm building towards being able to charge more money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You talk about resentment. I had the same thing early on, especially when I wasn't earning much money per client. Mm-hmm. And obviously the people that see me are seeing me for coaching. They're going to be very excited about self-improvement, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they're just starting out. And so with that excitement comes the urge to share it. Like, they want to share with me the stuff that they're working on, the stuff that they're struggling with, and also their successes. When I was only earning like $50 per client or $25 per client, they were still excited about what they were doing, just as excited as they are now that I'm charging $250 now. And so they would message me and be like, hey, Andy, like, I just did this, or I just went outside and I talked to a girl, or hey, I just signed up for the gym. But when I'm only getting $15 an hour, that's like, I couldn't help but resent them. And I knew that it was wrong. And I knew it's like, not wrong, but like, I knew, okay, this isn't their fault. This is my fault for not charging enough. But yeah, I would feel this resentment. I'd be like, you're only giving me $25. I can't afford to like be answering every message that you send me. I can't give you the energy and excitement, especially because when you charge less, you have to have more clients in order to try and pay the bills. Yeah. And so you're now spread more thin. You literally can't afford to message every single client and respond to them instantly and say like, oh, that's great, dude. Now that I'm charging $250, if someone wants to hit me up afterwards, yeah, I'll fucking write you an essay afterwards. I do that after my coaching calls. I write notes for them. I write them a summary. They can message me a week later and I'll fucking like write them another essay. Like, I'm happy to do that because you're helping me pay my bills. You're giving me quite a lot of money. Yeah, I have more to give you now because there's like almost a loyalty there. It's like, you're helping me pay my bills. Yeah, I want to fucking help your life too. Like, you're being a good dude to me by giving me this money. And yeah, I'm going to be a good dude to you and give you my time and my energy and my care, I guess. It's like you care more. You can care more.
Yeah, you have. It's kind of, we talked about this before in like relationships wise, but once your own needs are being met, like I have more money to fund my existence, basically. Once your needs are being met, it's far easier to give to other people.
Yeah, it's like you have to put on your own oxygen mask before you can help somebody with theirs, for sure. We'll start wrapping up because you keep scratching your head and I can tell that you have a headache. And you're making it very painfully obvious. Sorry. You're literally like rubbing your temples and looking like sad. You look like a grumpy old man. You look like an angry Danny DeVito. If you guys could picture Danny DeVito angry, I fucking love Danny DeVito. He's, you know who he is, right?
Yeah, I do.
He's like cute little boy. I fucking love Danny DeVito. So if you guys would like to support the show, theinnerwinnershow.com/support. Feel free to donate if you want. That would be really fucking appreciated. Like, you have no idea how much that would be appreciated. Probably a better, like, donate if you want to, but probably a better idea would be to go on there and have a look at all the products that I've listed. Because I list shit that's like genuinely helped my life and helped yours as well.
Mm. Yeah, of course.
I would feel, I earn less money if you buy something, obviously. I get more money if you just straight up donate it to me. But I would feel happy if you bought something and get a lot of fun, joy out of that. And then tell me how, you know, if you buy like the magic wand or you buy one of the books that's like changed my life, any of that kind of shit, then we both kind of win-win. You know, I get a little bit of money. I won't get anywhere near as much, but I get some money. You get a cool fucking product.
Yeah.
We're both cool dudes or dudettes. In case there's any bitches listening. Mm. I'm going to have a bitch on my podcast soon. Mm. I should stop saying bitch. I'm going to have a woman on my podcast. You know those things that have like the, you know them things you got, show me. Yeah, the titties, like the nipples and then the other thing down the bottom.
Mm.
What's that thing called? It's not a penis, it's the other thing. It's the woman thing. That.
Mm,
anyway, shout outs to everybody. Shout outs to nature. Shout outs to Imogen.
Mm-hmm.
Shout outs to the guy with the lawnmower behind us making all that noise.
Very loud.
Shout outs to my penis.